Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made freed from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. When I say the word slavery, what comes to your mind? Probably many of you will think about the period of time in our nation when we were participating in slavery. And that is a perfectly fine representation as an illustration this morning. But the idea of slavery should feel out of place today. We may know it historically in our nation. We may know it historically throughout the world. We may actually realize and understand that it still takes place around the world today. But it still ought to make us feel out of place. The very idea that one human being can actually have the power to force another human being to serve him is unimaginable today in the 21st century. The majority of us are sickened at the thought of owning a slave. Especially even the thought of being a slave. But did you know that slavery is alive and well today? Spiritually speaking. In fact, there are slaves here in Marion, North Carolina, in McDowell County. I'll go a step farther. There are slaves in this very church this morning. That's right. Surprised? Well, it may surprise you even further to learn that we are all slaves. Each and every one of us is a slave. The only difference lies in the reference to the master that we serve. This morning you're going to realize that you serve a master. Whether you want to do anything about that or not is between you and the Lord. But you do serve a master today. In the verses we just read, Paul continues on with a previous discussion about the difference between being dead in sin and being alive in Christ. In the last verses of chapter 6, the ones that we just read, he presents a series of contrasts. Contrasts which point out the fact that we are slaves. That we will be slaves all of our lives. But we do have a choice of which master we serve. The thought that I want to preach about this morning for a little while is slaves, but to which master? I want you to be able to see clearly which master you are serving, and I want you to have an opportunity today to realize that you can change that master if you choose to. So this morning, if you happen to realize that you are serving the wrong master, then understand you don't have to walk out of this church under the servitude of the same master you walked in with. You can change. You can change with the power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of God in your life. You can change. But for contrast, I want to use to prove this point to you today. First is the contrast of the choices that we have. Paul tells us that we are to yield our members to a master. As a matter of fact, to say we are to is an understatement. We will yield ourselves as members to a master. The word yield means to stand as a servant, to stand near a master, to await the orders of a master. It means to be present. It's the idea that we are at someone's beck and call. When our master calls us, they move in our life in such a way that we say, "Yes, I am. Here I am. Take me." Now, you may not do that logically. In other words, you may not think about it. It may not be a verbal response, but it is a spiritual response in your heart and in your life toward either Christ or Satan. In case you haven't connected the dots, those are the two masters. There are none other. We all either, we serve either Christ or Satan today. Now that may be a difficult pill to swallow this morning, but it's true. And I think you know it's true. I think you know and you have an understanding enough of God's Word this morning where you realize that there are only two authorities, two powers, spiritually speaking, that control the hearts and the lives of people around the world today and that have ever controlled anyone's hearts and lives and will ever, and that is Christ and Satan. So this morning when we walk in and when we sit down and we take our seats, as religious as we may seem, as kind and moral as we may be, as polite and friendly, we have to face the reality of the master we serve. We all must face that reality today. First, the choice of the master of Satan is a choice of rebellion. Can we take grace for granted today? Can we just assume that because we are walking the face of God's creation, that we are God's creation, that we are covered by grace automatically? Do we have the liberty to make that assumption this morning? That just because I am who I am, God loves me and God will give me a place in heaven and God has saved me just because. Whether you realize it or not, that very attitude is an attitude of rebellion. Many live like this. They think they're free. They think they have the authority or the privilege in life to decide what they're going to do, who they're going to do it with, what's going to happen and take place in their lives, and God's going to be fine with it. God is just going to agree with it and move on. Let me give you a couple of pictures from God's Word. In Genesis, remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain slew Abel. We know that. Cain took a rock and Cain killed his brother. But if you remember, that was all about who was doing worship and who was having it properly. Abel was following God's wishes. Abel was doing things the way God wanted them done. Abel's master was God. Cain's master wasn't. Cain's master, we like to think about and say politely, well, it was himself. Cain was following himself. No, he wasn't. Cain was following Satan. Satan had set up pride in his life. Had made him think that he was better than he was, had made him think that he was more important, that he could do what he wanted. He could offer to God what he wanted to offer to God, and everything would be okay. And then what happened? God rejected him. And instead of him repenting, and instead of him moving on and doing what was right in God's eyes and what was right in his heart, he continued to grow farther and rebel farther and farther and farther against God. He felt like the only way he could make himself right before God was to take and kill his brother whom God had blessed. And he did. And he banished himself for the rest of his life. And then we have a story in the New Testament called the Prodigal Son. The Prodigal Son is a very good story about a believer. You see, a believer, you can be saved this morning and you can choose to follow Satan. You can be saved this morning and you can choose to follow Satan. Look at the prodigal son. Look at that story real close. Read it closely. Let it speak to your heart. Story of two sons living in their father's house. They had a relationship with their father. They had a sonship there. Just like if you are born again today, you have an adoption into the household of God. You are a child of God, just like they were a child of their father. And yet, one came to his father and said, "Give me what's mine and I'll go my way with it." Well, the father did, and the son took off and he started living it up. He started doing everything he wanted to do until God pulled the wheels off of his apple cart. And he found himself living with the hogs. And that's what's going to happen, Christian, if you make your decision to live a rebellious life against God. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. God is going to let it go so far for so long, and then God's going to pull the wheels off of your apple cart, and you're going to find yourself living with the hogs. God will do that. He will give you grace, and He will give you mercy, and He will work in your heart to show you that you're living in rebellion. But then, when He's had enough, when it comes time for Him to step in and intervene, He will step in and He will intervene. But the good news is this morning, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in rebellion to God. Because the other choice is righteousness. We can choose to walk in the will of God. We can choose to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Instead of yielding our members over to sin, we can present our bodies for His glory. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, there's a whole other message right there in that, but a couple of things I want to point out to you. Verse 1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is evident through reasonable service. If you're living for God, if you are born again and you are living for God, you're going to be serving God. You're not going to be trying to be born again and live for the devil and serve him. You're not going to be going down that road. You're going to be giving your reasonable service over to God. And in verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your body, your actions, your behavior is controlled by your mind. What you watch, what you hear, what you allow yourself to be in the presence of is what affects your body. It's what affects your actions. It's what affects your decisions in life. If you want to spend your time watching pornography, if you want to listen to music that is immoral, if you want to be around people who are immoral people, don't act surprised when you fail morally. If you want to be around violence, if you want to be around, if you want to be around harassment, if you want to be around ugly vileness, if that's what you subject yourself to daily, willingly, knowing what it is and participating in it, if that's what you give your mind over to, don't be surprised when you fall and fail and go down that very road. Don't be surprised when you find yourself wallowing with the hogs, because it's going to happen. If we are the children of God, if we are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are this morning, but if that's where you are today, then your mind should be focused on the things of the Lord this morning. Your mind should be focused first on His Word. Your mind should be focused on His church and on learning and growing and maturing. Your heart should have a desire that brings you back to be under the Word and to be learning from it and to be growing through it. You should be using it at home, learning and studying and growing. There should be singing and worship and righteousness. It should all be a part of your daily life, not something that you go to once a week just to say you were there. There's too much of that going on today. We have church houses that are overflowing with church members this morning, and they're singing songs that are making them feel good. Some of them are being entertained in some of the most amazing ways that technology can bring in to entertain them. Yet, when they walk out of God's house, they walk right into the hog pen. And that's where they wallow until next week. When they walk in, not as a prodigal son, but they walk in as a Pharisee. The Pharisees in God's in the Lord's day and in our New Testament, the Pharisees had two sets of rules. They were the greatest of double standards. They had a set of rules for them to live by, and they had a set of rules for everyone else to live by. Whenever they got through preaching to the crowd what they needed to do, then they went out and done just the opposite. And you know what? The people in the communities knew it. And you know what? The Pharisees knew they knew it. The Pharisees didn't care, and the people were wondering when things were going to get better. When's God going to do something? Then came Jesus, the Messiah. We have His Word this morning to lead us and to guide us and direct us, and that's all that we get. The Lord has already came, and the Lord has already set the matter straight and the record straight. Yet we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice every day. Are we going to live a life in rebellion to God, or are we going to live a life of righteousness that glorifies God? That doesn't mean that you're going to be sinless. That doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. That doesn't mean that you're going to understand everything that you do and that you everything that you get into and everything that you do. Sometimes we find out that we went into something with good intentions and it just didn't work and we didn't see everything that was there and we got to say, well, wait a minute, this is not going to work. I got to back out and I got to move over here and I got to repent and I got to do something different. That's fine. That's what we got to do. That's why in verse 17, Paul says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the teaching of God's Word, that was delivered to you. If we are going to know when to change, and if we are going to know how to change, then we have to have something to go by, an absolute. And that absolute today is God's Word. We need to understand it. We need to accept it as that. Because that absolute takes us to the second point, which are the changes. When we make the choice that we make, there are changes that take place in our life. We have to first acknowledge our past failures. And there isn't a one of us, present company included, that doesn't have past failures. We have all let God down. As a matter of fact, if we could see our lives the way God sees them, we've probably let God down this morning before we ever got here. But we don't have to stay in that condition. We can always come to Him in precious faith, knowing that He will set the record straight, knowing that He will make it right. We can't make it right, but He can. He can make it right through Jesus Christ. Knowing that we don't have to remain in the same condition that we came in. We don't have to leave today the same condition that we came in. We can, by faith, come to the Lord and make Him the master of our life and increase that. If we've already done that, if we've already made that commitment, we have to realize that we can always grow closer. We can always pay closer attention. There is always a maturing process that we can go through. We can be better today than we were yesterday, not because of us, but because of Him, because of His growth, because of the way He has developed us, because of the way He has taught us. Our children, our grandchildren, they're not going to be the same next Sunday as they were today. Because the plan is that they will have learned, they will have grown, and they will have developed over the course of the week. Some things may be small, some things may be large, but they're going the right direction. That same idea holds true in your life and in my life as we walk with God and we allow the Lord to have His way and be the master of our life. He not only speaks to that faith, but He speaks to our present freedom. And we do have that freedom. We have a freedom we find in verse 18. Being made free from sin. Now that doesn't mean you won't find yourself failing God, but it does mean that sin does not have dominion over your life anymore. Sin does not lead you around by a leash. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are free from that. Now that's a two-edged sword this morning. You're free from it, but that doesn't mean that you don't have the choice to make a decision to go that route. There's a lot of folks today who are walking around who have the freedom to walk away from the devil, but they don't want to. Now that might be difficult and tough to hear, but it's true. There's a lot of folks walking around, they're hooked up to the devil because they want to be hooked up to the devil, because they love what the devil's bringing and putting into their life. They don't want to let go of it, and they don't want to realize the fact that they belong to Jesus, and one day Jesus' grace is going to run out. One day the Lord's mercies are going to run out. One day God's going to say, that's it. It's time for you to see and wallow with the hogs. And they will. I've seen it happen to people. I talked to inmates in the prison who spent every Sunday in church, who went on all of the youth group events, who were very active in the church and doing things in the church. They were saved. And they knew right from wrong. and somebody came up. May have been a good friend. May have been a young woman that was wanting to lead them astray and did lead them astray. Anyhow, they had to make a decision. They had to make a decision about whether to do the right thing or do the popular thing. They decided to do the popular thing. And the next thing they realize, they're sitting in court and the judge is saying 50 years in prison. Now we can talk about, well, this sentencing law and this condition and that condition and the other. We can talk about all of that stuff till the Lord comes back. But the bottom line is, if that person had not made the wrong decision to live in rebellion to God, they would have never been in that spot where they would have been found guilty of a crime and have been spending that much time in prison. And you know what? They will tell you that. They will tell you when you sit down and talk to them, because as they told me, I don't have anything to hide, Mr. Cheek. I've still got the rest of my life in prison. What's it going to benefit me to tell you a lie? What's it going to benefit me to sit here and talk about, well, if I would have been done this way, or if I would have been treated that way, or if the system would have been like this or like that? I did what I did. I made the decision to do it. I knew it was wrong, but I'd done it anyway. I thought, my. How I wish people sitting in church could be that honest with themselves. How I wish we could look at ourselves in a spiritual mirror like those inmates have saw themselves and look at themselves. Not all of them are like this now. Don't let me paint that picture for you. Don't let me paint that picture, because I've talked with some of them. They've looked at me and they said, I killed a man. I killed him because of this, and if I get out, I'll kill another one because of the same reason. Living in rebellion, some people make a decision to get out of it. Some people make a decision to get deeper. It's choice. And that choice leads to changes in our life. This morning, you may not be making a decision to kill someone or not, but you may be making a decision that will be killing your spiritual life and your spiritual walk with God. You may be making a decision this morning that hinders your children and their walk with God. You may be making a decision this morning that totally alters the direction of your household and your family. That may be the decision that you're making. That may be the changes that you're going into today. Are you prepared to go down that road any farther? That's the challenges that we're facing. The challenges that we face are the deeds of a lost life. The first challenge is for believers to remember how they lived before Christ. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness. As children of God, what are we going to do? Which direction are we going to go in? It isn't a one and done direction. Today you may be saying, well, I'm going to be following God. I'm going to be doing this. You don't know what the devil's got in store for you. He's a wily old creature. He's mean. The devil don't care to attack your children. The devil don't care to attack your grandchildren. The devil don't care to attack your parents. He doesn't care to attack your finances. He doesn't care to attack your character. He doesn't care to attack any. He doesn't care to attack your marriage. If he can get you to change the direction that you're going and start being rebellious to God, he will do whatever it takes because he has nothing to lose. He's like the inmate that's sitting in prison doing double life sentences right now and attacks another inmate or attacks a corrections officer. Maybe kills them. And the inmate says, "What are you going to do? Put me in prison?" That's the devil. What are we going to do with the devil if he attacks your marriage? What are we going to do with the devil if he attacks your children? What are we going to do with the devil if he attacks you personally? What are we going to do? See that God sends him to hell? He knows he's already destined to that. What's he got to lose? The onus comes back to you. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to get rebellious? Are you going to choose to go an ungodly route? Or are you going to choose the righteousness of God? Paul says, "Yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness." Yielding your members, your body, your actions, your reactions, your physical, spiritual, emotional, all of you. Give all of you over to righteousness. Because the devil is not going to stop the way he's attacking you, but you have control over the way you respond to it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to tolerate it. But you have to deal with it righteously. You have to deal with it in a godly manner, in a direct manner, in a manner that increases your faith, in a manner that deals and builds up the testimony of Christ so that others see Jesus in your plight. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and Joseph wound up in Egypt, he wound up in Potiphar's house. He wound up being accused falsely of rape. He wound up in prison for 7 years. Joseph could have gotten bitter, but he got better. He walked closer to God instead of farther away from Him. And in doing so, God blessed him in that work. It didn't happen overnight, but God blessed him. God prepared the hearts of many other people to prepare him for what he was doing. Had Joseph given up and gotten bitter and gotten vindictive over everyone that crossed him in that path that the devil led in a rebellious fashion, had Joseph followed them in rebellion, God's purposes and plans would have fallen away. God didn't give up on Joseph, and Joseph didn't give up on God. And an amazing end came to that story where a family was reunited, where the glory of God was established and the witness of God was established, and things were set in place that would later lead down the road of Moses, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land that was given to Abraham. Joseph played a big role in that. And that role could not have happened had he not been faithful in his righteousness. God has a plan in your life this morning. God has a purpose in your life. And today, and whatever, you may be going through some really difficult stuff right now. You may be going through things that nobody can understand. You may be accused of things that are just really crazy stupid. There's no way that is part of me, but there are people out there who are believing it. And I've been there. I've been accused of some very ugly and vile things, and I know that's not a part of me, but I can't do anything about it, so I learned to trust God. I learned to trust God, and I let God have those people, and I let God have those circumstances and situations. And just like with Joseph, just like with Moses, just like with David, just like with the nation of Israel and the children of Israel, just like with all of the folks that we read in God's Word, I gave it to God, and I gave it to God in faith, and He worked it all out. And today it's an attribute not to me, but it's an attribute to God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, it's not surprising God, but you have a choice. You can address it with rebellion, or you can address it with righteousness. There are people today who are willing to pray with you. There are people today who are willing to help you. There are people today who are willing to move in your life and help you through this. Because in verses 20 through 23, we see a compensation. For when we were the servants of sin, we were free of righteousness. You can't be righteous and be living in sin. It don't work. You can't get there from here. You cannot get into the righteousness of God by living in the sin of Satan. It don't work. What fruit had you with the things that you are now ashamed of? When you look back on who you were, what came out of that life? Whatever life that was, before you got saved, what came out of that life? Misery? Agony? Shame? Criticism? Conviction from the Holy Spirit? You may have been very popular. You may have been the most popular person running in that clique. But what really came out of it? What was the fruit that came from it? More rebellion? But now, those who have realized that, those who are saved from that life, those who have made that choice and made that turn in their life to follow righteousness, now what is the fruit of their life? The fruit of their life is a testimony of Jesus Christ. It is a testimony of what God has done in their life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a testimony of their Master. The testimony of your life is a testimony of your Master. And we all have one. And there's only two. Satan or Jesus. We're making a choice this morning. We're making a choice of who that's going to be. Verse 23 summarizes it all. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have death or we can have life. Which is it? You can't have life through the master of Satan. You can only have life through Jesus Christ. Satan brings only death. Physical death and spiritual death. Material death and eternal death. Jesus Christ brings eternal life. What are we going to have this morning? Ladies, will you come and give us a hymn of invitation this morning as we start to close this service out? And again, I ask as we do so, who is your master? Who are you serving today? If you're not saved this morning, that's a very simple answer. You're serving the devil himself. You're walking with him. He is calling the shots in your life, whether you want to admit it or not. If you are saved this morning, you should be under the control of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and they should be calling the shots in your life. But understand this, Christ is not going to bind you, and He is not going to force you to move in His direction. Following Christ is a choice that you make. It is a choice of saying, I want righteousness over unrighteousness. It is a choice of saying, I want to be a good son, I don't want to be a prodigal son. It is a choice of saying, I want God in my life, and I want Him to be in control, and I want Him to be moving. So this morning, as we close, and as we have this hymn of invitation, who are you serving? Do you need to make changes? Do you need to make changes? Now is the time. Now is the day. Now is the opportunity to do that. No one is promised tomorrow. No one is promised the next breath. No one is promised the next opportunity. Make those changes. Make them last. Make them permanent. Ladies.